Hello, friends. Welcome to Time in the Studio. This is a podcast interviewing artists and herbalists, talking about creativity, growth, and healing. And I am your host, Sarah Marie Miller. I'm an artist and herbalist living in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm the founder of A to Zia Arts. It's a company of pottery and plant medicine, and I have a website at www.aidazea.com. That's aidazea.com. And I'm really excited for the ninth episode today with Carrie Raceley of Mountain Moon Herbalism. She is an amazing powerhouse of an herbalist living in Boise, Idaho, and was just really helpful along my path. We talk about eating the elephant. That's kind of a message that came through, and I just keep thinking of each little bit adds up and all of your little efforts accumulate over time. So just to honor and be patient with yourself and to remember that everything's done brick by brick, bite by bite. Before we get started, I want to put a big fat disclaimer out that I am an herbalist and not a doctor. And I just remembered I kind of got into it a little heavy with talking about the medical community. Yeah, I'm just excited for what herbalism has to offer, but herbalists are not licensed by any state in the United States, and so I definitely suggest working with a licensed practitioner if you're thinking of changing anything to your lifestyle, diet, or medication plan. So this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. I also want to give a shout out to the review of the week. I haven't done this before, so this is a new thing, but I just was really honored. There's a review on iTunes by Alice Isn't Home Now, and they say, "I'm excited about this podcast. Sarah Marie's voice is magical, and I can't wait to hear from artists and makers." And I just want to send a big thank you to Alice Isn't Home Now. Much love to you, and I appreciate your words and your support. And thank you, everybody, for listening and sharing and connecting about this podcast. I really appreciate your voice and your support. So without further ado, I give you Carrie Raceley. Here we go.
Oh, okay. So I am just so thrilled and honored to have on the show today Carrie Raceley, who is an incredible herbalist and just really powerful woman in the world. Really excited to hear more about her practice. And she's just been an amazing friend and ally. And thank you so much for being here, Carrie.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's such an honor to talk with you.
Thank you. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your life path so far. How have you, I know you were a river guide for years and then you lived in Boulder and then you have moved to Idaho. I'd love to hear just a little bit about your take on your life path.
Sure. So actually I lived on an organic biodynamic farm in 2008 and I was extremely ill at that time. And I, had precancerous cells in my cervix and had, you know, like advanced stages of HPV. Mm-hmm. And so I, instead of doing the practical or the Western way of dealing with that, where it was basically like surgery and potentially cancer treatment in the future, I decided to go the holistic route and do things herbally and actually a little bit of homeopathic treatment where I did a ketogenic diet before it was a ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know what that was.
Oh, cool.
And so I eliminated all sugar, all wheat, all gluten in general, all dairy, and just basically was paleo and then went into the ketogenic side of things. And I took a homeopathic treatment for 6 months and I got better and I was totally fine. And the cells went back to normal and I had, yeah. And I had, completely like went into, I guess you could call it remission from that. And so I just basically that sparked my like love and passion for for herbs and for alternative healing, because it's so powerful. And, you know, but the thing is that it takes a little bit of time and be dedicated to wanting to feel better. And I was, and I didn't want to have the alternative. And so that relieved me of finding out about herbs and herbalism. And so after that, I became a river guide. Yeah. And I guided on lots of different rivers all over the United States as well as South America.
Wow.
And I continued my love and passion for plants and just kind of studied it on my own. After I came back from South America, I realized that, you know, I really wanted to dive into herbalism much more seriously. So I started to do research on herbal schools all across the United States as well as in other countries. And I came across the Colorado School of Clinical Herbalism in my search. And it really spoke to me because there was a lot more scientific base to what we were learning. It wasn't just, oh, this herb for that or whatever, because you can do that on your own. That's not really what herbalism is about. And I love the vitalistic approach of just like treating the root and treating the person and not the disease, but treating what is going on in the body. Mm. And so I decided that I was going to go to school. And it was a really difficult choice for me to make because it was a commitment time and in one place because I had been moving around for so long. So I kind of battled with it for a while and then talked to my boss, my river guide boss. And he was like, you know what, Carrie, like rafting will always be there, but you don't really have another opportunity to go to school. So do it, you know? And wow. So I made a commitment and I went to DSCH and it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And so now here I am trying to do it on my own. And it's a process for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's just so beautiful. And it gives me chills. I feel like with every great sacrifice that we make, there is great reward oftentimes. And it seems like it was just the divine thing for you to do, to go to school and to study the plants and just to really dive in and to learn how to serve people.
Yeah. 'Cause
I know in my world, you made such a huge difference. I mean, just like giving hope, you know, like that you can get better. I believe you can get better. And just your positive attitude of yeah, just being there for me and for all your clients, I think is just so powerful. 'Cause I think in Western medicine, it's like doctors are allowed to have, you know, 10 minutes with a client maybe, or with a patient. And working with an herbalist, it's like we got to sit down for like 2 hours for an intake and then, you know, hour long follow-ups. Yeah. And I just felt so heard. Like you just really listen. And it was one of the first times I had been able to really share my health journey and my health story. And I think just airing that out sometimes can bring so much relief to people. And then especially to give hope. 'Cause I think, yeah, modern doctors, it's like, they're not allowed to give hope. So you can't say, you know, you might get better. It's like they have to,
I know. Yeah.
Doom and gloom. And it's, I don't think that serves people. I think it's, why not give hope? Like, why not say, you know, you might get better.
Well, to be honest, I mean, they're not taught to do that. They're taught, this is what your life is now. You know, you take this pill every day and you know, that's your life. And that's your option. And they don't talk to people and learn what they can do. And they don't have time, you know, that's just the thing.
I know. Yeah. I don't think it's a lack of compassion. I think it is. It's just like a lack of time and kind of how they're trained. So it's just so cool to see this field expanding and more herbalists going out into the world and to give people these alternate approaches of like, oh, you could just like look at the root cause, like instead of taking these medications, like, yeah, diving into what's underneath that and why do you have to take these medications? You know, what's going on in the body's processing?
Exactly.
That's not in alignment. Can you talk a little bit about your business. So I love the name of your company, Mountain Moon Medicine. Where did that come about? What has that been like to start a business?
Yeah, so it's mountainmoonherbalism.com. And that's the reason that I changed the website name is because I wanted to include herbalism in the name. It just kind of gives people a little bit of like, oh, that's exactly what I'm looking for kind of a thing. So Mountain Moon Medicine came about because I was looking into my own inner process of like, what name makes sense to me? Because, you know, it kind of starts in that realm. And I actually was thinking about this towards the end of my clinical year in school. And I came up with, gosh, like 100 different names and, you know, tried them all and worked out different things. But really what came to me was just like, what calms me down and like what makes me feel centered and what makes me feel happy and what images can come to mind when I think of herbalism or when I think of being nurtured. So I'm going to share a little story. So my dad, when I was little, used to, when I was crying or like freaking out about whatever, he would carry me over to the window and we would stare at the moon.
Oh.
And we would just like talk about the moon and talk to the moon. And so that's the moon. And then the mountains are my life and I like love them and they bring me nourishment and fulfillment, because that's where the rivers come from. That's where the herbs are. That's where life is. And so just the combination of those things kind of came about in the name. So,
oh, yeah. So beautiful. I love that. And what has that been like? So you moved to Idaho from Boulder. Yeah. I remember as you were leaving, you talked about part of your vision was to bring herbalism to a place that was needed because Boulder is fairly saturated with herbalists and, you know,
you
wanted to go somewhere where it wasn't such a saturated market and you could actually, you know, bring something, this new breath of fresh air and alternatives to a new community. So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about that transition to Idaho. What's that been like?
It's been really tough. So it's, you know, Colorado is so awesome because there's just so many like-minded individuals and everybody kind of like, you know, you say the word herbalism and it triggers something in somebody and they're like, oh yeah, I know what that is.
Right.
And you go other places and it's not like that. And, you know, you say herbalism and people say, oh, you work with essential oils, or they, you know, they name whatever they've heard. Would they name whatever they connect to herbalism? So it may not be herbs at all. It could just be, like I said, aromatherapy, or a lot of people think pot.
Yeah.
Or marijuana.
Yeah. I'm like, no.
So, and that's their limited view. That's their limited view of what herbalism is. So, yeah, certain things to people, you have to kind of give a backstory. You have to kind of explain, work with herbs in a medicinal way to help promote vitality and health in the body. Mm-hmm. And people look at you and they're like, what? Like, what does that even mean? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been hard because, first of all, I'm the only herbalist in Boise.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the only person who knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Besides my partner, who is great and mean, is just like, everyone will, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then, so I've only been here for like a month and a half, so not very long. Yeah, I was, so I actually moved to Gunnison, Colorado for a little bit of time last winter.
Cool.
And because I went to the Southeast to try and open a practice in the Southeast, but I decided that it was not the right environment for me to be in. It's just really that I feel bad because the Southeast is a wonderful place. It's beautiful and it's full of magic in the Appalachians. And there is a lot of herbalism. I mean, that's kind of like the origination spot, you know, it's like, oh, Appalachia. But there's certain pockets where it's not really accepted and it's kind of hard, you know. It's again, like going to Asheville would be the only option for an herbalist because people know about it. So I decided I didn't want to go to Asheville. I wanted to stay out west and continue my path. And I've always been drawn to Idaho. I live here as a river guide. years ago, and I just really love it here. And so my fiance and I, he got a job here in Boise. And so I was like, perfect, let's move there. So we literally just moved here like a month and a half ago. And so I'm just kind of, I'm just trying to break into the market here and let people know that I exist. I've been reaching out to different places. And first of all, I just have to say that I have zero background in business.
Me too.
I've never taken a business class. I've never, would it be possible without my partner? He is an accountant. And so he literally is like, okay, look, like we need to do, it's just insane. And so he literally is like walking me through all the forms and the process of setting up my LLC and all of that. I am still kind of in those beginning stages. I just got an office space right down the street from where I live. And I reached out to an organic farm that is in Middleton, which is minutes away from where I live. Mm-hmm. And they grow medicinal herbs. And so I connected with them at Purple Sage Farms, and they are amazing and so beautiful. And this like kind of took me in, and they're like, we'll help you. Like, let's figure this out. And they're just wonderful, wonderful humans. And so I'm going to use their herbs in my formulations as often as I can. And then I'm teaching a class actually next Wednesday, Boise Co-op, which is their Meridian branch. So I reached out to a bunch of different people just to kind of be like, hey, I exist and I swear I'm awesome.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm teaching. Thank you. So I'm teaching a class next Wednesday on medicinal kitchen herbs. So it's five herbs that you use in your kitchen every day that you might not know are medicinal, kind of like how to use them. And it's a basic introduction class, but there are no other herbalists in the area. So I am the only one that's going to be filling the slot of teaching about herbs and herbalism. So I kind of have that as a gig that I'll be doing on the side.
Yes, definitely. I feel like that's going to be so helpful. And I love that approach too, to just choose five herbs and just like really keep it simple, be a boring herbalist, as Paul says, like start at that foundational level and teach people how to make food their medicine. Like I love that approach. It's so gorgeous. Yeah, it'll be so good. I was asking Kat as I was finishing clinic, I was like, Kat, how do I make a living as an herbalist? And she's like, well, she said, teach classes,
right,
and make products and see clients, and it can be done. But she's suggested kind of a balance of those three, because, you know, it's good to teach classes so that people are aware of you, and then to make things, because sometimes people just want like a really nice salve or tea or whatever. And then to also offer, you know, one-on-one consultation. So I've just realized, I'm like, I want to make things for people. So I want to start, I haven't done that yet, but I'm like, I want to work on creating like a really small limited line of a couple things. Are you thinking of doing any products with your company?
Not currently, because I'm going to focus on the clinical side of things and then make things for my clients. But in the future, my long-term goal is to actually open an apothecary. So I would love to open an apothecary here and sell not only my stuff, but other people in the area who make herbal products. And then I'll obviously just sell the tinctures and percolations to clients, and I'll still be open to accepting appointments, but I will also be running an apothecary, which is really something that I really want to do.
Oh, that's so amazing. I feel like there's a lot of graduates from the school who are willing to take on that challenge, which is like, because it's so important, I think, to have that face out there and to have that place where people can connect with you and to congregate. I have a friend, I just did an interview with my friend Lizzie that'll be coming up right before this one, but she opened up a little brick and mortar shop in New York, in Brooklyn. And it's like this amazing little tea bar, and she sells lunch. And then she also has rooms for seeing clients and teaches classes and has like a storefront. So it's like this amazing place where people can congregate and learn things. And it's just like a really nice kind of cultural center in a way.
Definitely. That's amazing.
So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about what helps you through all these challenges that you're going through. Like, what a transitional time.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, my partner is just wonderfully supportive, and I really couldn't have done any of it without him. And then just self-care mm-hmm. is so important. Just remembering Rome was not built in a day.
Yeah.
And cause I have that problem where I'm like, but I just want it all to be done. And like, mm-hmm. to be like, why don't people want to find me, you know? And so I just have to remind myself that patience is so important, and that I can just nurture myself in the meantime. Mm. And my allies are always there, you know, and going out on herb walks and just seeing them in the wild, and just sitting with them and talking to them, you know, just being out there. I found a little tiny patch of St. John's Wort the other day. Oh, and so I just sat with Hypericum and it was just like, hi, help me. And she was so healing and so helpful. And it was just too small of a stare with anything. I just wanted to sit with her and just remember that that's really what it's all about. And it's about you're being their voice to help. And that's what they're here for, is to help us, because we're all connected. We're all related, and herbs are just our little support guys out there going, hey, I can help you.
Yes.
And so, you know, to pouring herbalists and to sit with those plants and to bring it back to the basics. And that's really what helps me through this whole process, is like, I do feel very isolated and very alone in a lot of ways. Especially moving away from Colorado, where I lived for so long, I had so many friends and so many support people.
Yeah.
Especially the school. I mean, the school in and of itself is like the most amazing support unit in the world. And,
yeah.
So I recently, I don't know if you know this, but I applied and got accepted as a registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild.
I saw that. That's so cool. I would love to hear more about that process, actually, because I was...
Yeah.
About doing that myself at some point.
Oh my gosh.
Is it a lot of work?
Sure. Yeah. And, it is, but it's great. And, so, I mean, Mary Barnes and Kat McKinnon, I mean, those two women are my heroes. And so anytime that I'm feeling even like a little bit overwhelmed, I can always call them and they can always help me and talk me through anything.
Yeah.
So they're great.
They are.
It's a combination of so many things that really helps you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. What has it been like to apply for the AHG herbalist, registered herbalist, that whole process? What has that been like?
So it took me 4 months to get the application filled out. And in the end, it ended up being 21 pages, not even single space, 9 fonts, to be able to fit everything in the 25 pages that is required.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes a long time to put everything together and to edit it the right way and to answer the questions the way that you want to answer them. And so I would suggest to anybody trying to apply that you really need to allot that amount of time, just to be able to sit with your own process because for me, I can't sit down and work for long stretches of time. I have to get up and like walk around.
Yeah.
So, sit for hours and then be like, oh my gosh, I have to get up mm-hmm. and take a break. And because it can be really frustrating. Some of the questions are really, detailed, and you want to do a thorough job and you want to provide the right answer in the way that you know that you're qualified to answer it. And so just give yourself a little bit of time to do that. And then it's you have to culminate cases and submit your personal cases for them to review mm-hmm. and for them to accept. And so then the process, I applied in November and didn't hear back until March.
Wow.
So there's that whole long process of like waiting and you're like, oh God, I hope I got in and stuff. But it's such a rewarding thing when you finally get the letter and you're like, yes, congratulations, you're accepted, you know, and you're a registered herbalist, and you get those benefits of just being able to access more educational pieces. Mm-hmm. It's been so worth it and just so awesome.
That's so inspiring. Thank you for sharing that.
It's just my passion.
Yeah, that carries you through so many things. It's true. Just realizing that you're offering this service to people and to the world and to the plants, like you're really in service to something greater than yourself. What are some of the obstacles? Yeah. I can imagine them, but what do you perceive to be the obstacle?
You know, there's always the obstacle of getting out of your own way to hold themselves, you know? And so I was actually listening to a seminar from the AHG web on thyroid conditions the other day. And because I'm just always like listening to things and trying to learn more. And, yeah. and thyroid is one thing that is constantly coming up for me.
Yes, me too. Interesting.
In my day-to-day. Like, and in that, the guy who was speaking, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but wonderful herbalist, wonderful man, mm-hmm. was just saying that when you, as an herbalist, what you want to do is be subtle mm-hmm. because you want the person to feel better because they're feeling better, not because the herbs are making them feel better. Mm. And when they go to the doctor, you know, they get this pill and then the next day they're like, oh, wow, I feel great. Like I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. But it's not them feeling better. It's the medicine making them feel better. As an herbalist, what we want to do is, yes, they want to feel better, of course, but you don't want them to feel better overnight. You want them to feel better as a long-term thing. And you have to get out of your own way for that, because you have to really step back and say, you know, I want this person to feel better, but I need them to have the time. I need them to have the patience and the time. And I am that pillar mm-hmm. to hold that and to be like, yes, I'm so glad we're making improvements. Let's make these improvements one step at a time. Let's not jump from, you know, feeling horrible to feeling way better within a day. So because there are heroic herbs out there that can make you jump that way, but then you're exhausting your adrenals and you're exhausting these other, you know, systems in the body. And what you really want to do is just sit and hold that and be like, okay, let's work through this. And so that's going to be a challenge for me, because I know how impatient everybody is, especially myself, but particularly clients who come in and, you know, they want to feel better. And of course they do. But, you know, with herbalism, it's a healing process. It's not a jump to conclusions process, you know? Mm-hmm. So to be able to know and trust and know that you know that these herbs are going to help, but it's going to just take a little bit of time. That's really tough. And so that's going to be definitely a huge obstacle for me. Another one is just like not taking on the world.
Yeah.
Because I want to help everyone all the time. And so I feel like I can get exhausted just from like, you know, I don't take on the energy, but in order to hold space, and as a practitioner, you know, this, you hold that space and you hold yourself up, you know, and then when you're done, you're tired, you know, like you get done with that 2-hour interview or, you know, intake, and you're just like, whew, I'm exhausted, because not only are you holding your energy to a higher vibration, but you're bringing that person's energy level and vibrational level up so that they can meet themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having that balance of space for you, that's another obstacle, another challenge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's a lot, but those are the two things that come to mind, I guess.
It's so amazing. Yeah. I feel like patience is such a big one for me too. Like I get really impatient and I don't I just want everything to be done already. And it's like, it's brick by brick, it's slow and it's steady. Mm-hmm. And that's really how change, deep, true, good change is made, like slow and steady. Like I remember when I didn't feel good years ago, I just was like, I just want to feel better right now. And so I would just like try everything. And then it was through working with a couple herbalists at the school that were just like, just drink this hawthorn tea, you know, like just be gentle, right, slow, take it easy. Like try sleeping a little more, try drinking more water, you know, like slow, subtle, yeah, sweet things can, they build up. And over time it really restores the whole body rather than, yeah, the heroic means are, it's like the way our culture wants things, but it's not lasting. And mm-hmm, yeah, so it's a good reminder just, yeah, to be patient through it all. What are you envisioning?
Yeah.
What would you love your next 5 to 10 years to look like? So thinking of patience, allowing that to be a slow
burn. Yeah, I know.
What is the future vision?
The future vision, like I said, is to have an apothecary here. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have a balance of my practice and my personal life. You know, because rafting is always going to be a huge part of my life. And like I said, the mountains and the rivers reset me. So have and run that apothecary and be able to recruit other herbalists to come and work for me, mm-hmm, and teach people about it, spread that knowledge and spread that that joy that comes with what we do. Ugh. And because, you know, that's basically the ultimate ideal from our schooling. You know, it was like Lisa all the time was like, look, I didn't just come up with this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is historical information that's been passed down to me, and this is now passed down to you, and let's continue that line. And so I would love to just continue to educate new herbalists and to just spread that joy and spread that wisdom. So in my apothecary space, it's definitely going to be like an educational space as well. And for medicine making, for class teaching, for anything, you know, so that's the long-term goal, is to kind of just absolutely give back to what I learned.
Mm. I love that. That's so beautiful. And I love that you're really wanting to build like a community and a network around supporting the plants,
yeah,
working with local farms and organic gardens. And it's like so exciting just to really connect to that region specifically as well. Really cool. So you've mentioned a little bit, but I'm curious who, I know Kat and Lisa and Sheila and Mary, all the amazing teachers at the school, maybe, I know they're my heroes and they may be your heroes too, but I was wondering if there's anyone else that you wanted to name as like people that stand out as role models to you in your practice.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Mary is my ultimate role model. I mean, Mary Barnes is like my hero. Yeah. If I could be half the woman that Mary is, I'd be so lucky.
I know.
But yeah, I'm so in love with her. But everybody at the school, every single person that goes through that school, every single woman or man who learns herbalism anywhere in the world is my hero, because that is what we are, and we have to be there for each other, and we have to communicate with each other. It's not a competition, it's a support group. And yes, you know, we are what we are, you know, we are who we are, and we can't forget each other. And so my friend Claire, Claire Critter, who was in my graduating class, is in Portland, Oregon, and she is one of the most phenomenal herbalists I have ever known. Mm-hmm. And she is killing it over there and just like doing great work and clinical work and just being so supportive. And she got us all back together to do round tables. So we're going to submit cases to each other again, and yeah, and just to kind of like keep us together. And, but you know, it really is every single person who's dedicated to this work. every single person who's come before us and will come after us, you know. And so, I mean, you're my hero, Sarah, for just your for your path that you've been on, your healing journey. You know, like, you really inspire people, and that's what this is all about, is to get people to be in control of their own health and to feel empowered about their own health, so that, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a need for an herbalist, because hell, I need an herbalist.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody needs one, just for that support and just for that, like, you know, just to be like, hey, you know, my poops were weird today. You can talk to us about that. And so it's like anything, but that's the thing, is that we're just so open and so what we do. And that makes a hero in my eyes, you know?
Oh God, you make my eyes well up. That is just so beautiful. And oh yeah, it is such an amazing community and network of people that are just so creative and inspiring. Yes. Like, oh, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I can see how your heart is just so open and you're willing to connect with people in such a deep way. I'm curious too, how you navigate boundaries. Like, that's something that came up a lot in our clinical year of, like, I don't know if you guys got to talk about that a lot, but it's just like a really interesting thing, just to, like, how do you name boundaries? What are they to you? How do you hold them in a space with a client? And yeah, I just am really curious about that subject, because I feel like it can make or break what happens in a space.
Yeah. So during my clinic year, I actually dealt a lot with boundaries, and one of my first clients was mentally disturbed. Oh. So they crossed my boundaries in a way that was very invasive and very intense for me. And the client confessed that they were in love with me, and yeah, and that they felt like they could tell me anything, and that, like, at certain points, that my life was in danger, lots of crazy things.
Wow.
And so for me to create boundaries and to create that, like, bubble around myself was imperative. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely amazing, the lesson that I learned. So basically what I do before, and everybody has their own process, but I like to close off my spiritual bubble, if you will. And so beforehand, I have a little ritual that I do, and, you know, involving, like, you know, some sage and some, like, you know, different incense and things, and just, like, sitting with myself and opening my heart and opening my mind to help and guidance from like ancestors and plants and whatever else around me. But then also, like, putting a reflective bubble around me where all of that is included in me, but it is not without me. You know what I mean? So, like, it's surrounding my personal self, but it doesn't allow anything in from outside. Mm-hmm. And so I am, like, in this protective bubble of my own self and my own reliance. And then everything outside of that is separate from me, so that, like, I can feel it, I can see it, and I can know how that person is feeling or what their constitution is. And I can really delve into them, but I don't receive that back. And so whatever that looks like to you, you know, just kind of experiment, because it took me a while to figure out how setting up that boundary was going to look for me. And everybody, I think, has their own process, but it's to remember that person's pain is not your pain. That is their pain. And you don't need to take that on. You know, yes, you can help them. Yes, you can be there for them and you can support them, but you cannot start taking on that energy, because when you do, then it becomes you. And then you start to feel all of that, and it becomes, and I'm an empathic person. So I'm really sensitive to people's emotion.
Right.
And as a highly sensitive person in general, I can pick up on things. I get overwhelmed really easily. So I have to make sure that I close that door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so beautiful. I think that's a good reminder. I often take pink yarrow before and after a session just to kind of help clear the boundaries.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll take chaparral with that, just to help kind of clear my mm-hmm. own energy. And then at the end of the session, kind of clear any of their stagnant energy that if it, you know, you release things in a session, you know,
like yeah, absolutely. Tears come
up, and it can be very emotional to like dive into like the body, the spirit, the mental stuff. Like you just, you know, it's like a whole journey with another person that is, can be really profound and release so much. So I think it helps yes. to somehow clear that energy and walk away without carrying it with you. Cause I noticed if I didn't take flower essences yes. at the end of my session, sometimes I would just kind of spin out and I couldn't stop thinking about my clients and worrying about them. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, and I should add this herb to their formula and this. And it was like, oh my God. Okay. Just like, yes, I'm going to think about them and figure out what's best for them, but I'm also going to like set that aside and do my own life so that I can approach it more clearly and cleanly and to not carry that energy with you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to allow yourself to have time before and time after the session to really yeah. sit with yourself and sit with how you're feeling and allow that process to happen, because you have to like discharge, you know, after you have that session. So yeah. it's important not to just like cut it off completely and to, you know, try and detach yourself right after. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a little bit of time to sit down and, you know, write some things down that you're thinking. And I always have more questions after I leave the session anyway. I'm always yeah. like, wait, oh, I didn't ask this, or I want to clarify this or whatever. And that's totally okay. And allow yourself to know that that's okay too. And to write those questions down so that they're not sitting in your head, mm-hmm. because that's something that I would do, is that I would, you know, come up with these questions hours later, you know, but just be like, hours afterwards, I'm like, oh, what about that? Yeah, I have to write this down. So, you know, allow yourself to sit for a while and to write these questions down that you might have. And it's a process. So like you said, but yeah, it's important.
Yeah. I love that. That's like so helpful to remember. Just write it down and then you can kind of release it. It's like when I just write my to-do list out instead of it, like, sitting mm-hmm. in my head, it's like, oh, okay, that's more manageable. Like, then I can just like clearly see it. And yeah, writing is such a good practice to get into. I'm curious yes. if you could walk in the woods with anyone, who would it be?
Oh man, it's such a good question. so many people, but you know what? I'm someone that I've never met and somebody that I would love to meet is Rosemary Gladstar.
Oh, yes.
She is a really important person to me. Yeah. And so I did my thesis in school on childhood nutrition and child herbalism mm-hmm. for kids. And so I, which was a topic that I was interested in and I just felt like wasn't really covered too much.
Right.
And so I just dove headfirst into that. And she was really helpful because she actually has a lot of interesting information, books that she's written on childcare for like, you know, herbal childcare and for illnesses. And so I kind of connected with her in that way then. And, since then, she just seems like such a beautiful person and like such a down to earth woman and such a hero to herbalism. And so I would love to go on a herb walk with her. what's going on? and just have a good conversation with her and pick her brain, right? So that would be who I would choose.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I am like still, I watch those YouTube videos with her, just like walking in the woods and pointing things out, or like walking through gardens and pointing things out. And it is like my favorite because she's just so full of knowledge and wisdom and you know, blends science with intuition, with folklore, with, you know, fairy magic. And she's, she is so down to earth and yeah, such a hero in this realm. So yeah, I am with you. That would be such a treat to be, just to meet her ever. It'd be amazing. So cool. If you could talk to yourself 5 years, what would you tell yourself if you could go back like 5 years ago? What would you say? Or to other people
Sure. I would say that to me, I would say, you know, you're going to accomplish a lot of things and remember that you are going to accomplish them. Because a lot of the time in my present self, I'm like, oh, but I have so much to do. And you know, what if I don't do it all? And what if, you know, nobody wants to find an herbalist here, or, you know, all of these questions through my future. And I forget about all the stuff that I've done. You know, I forget about all of the past challenges. And when I started school, what if I don't do well in school? What, you know what I mean? Like, you always have those questions when you start something new. Yeah. And you're always going to be timid and be worried about things that you don't know. And you're taking that step. You're taking those leaps of faith to better yourself because you know you can. And so I would say to other people who are trying to start with herbalism, you know, understand that Rosemary Gladstar has been doing this her whole life. You know what I mean? Like, she has been doing this for a really long time. So remember that it's not going to happen overnight, and to be patient again, patient with yourself, and to know that you will accomplish a lot, and you should be proud of yourself. You should be happy with how well you've done. You know, I mean, I think that we all work really hard at things we're passionate at, and we need to remember how much hard work we did put in when it seems like we have so much more to do. So I would just remember, you know, without the honeysuckle flower essence and being stuck in the past and wishing that things were the way that they were, but, you know, just kind of like moving into that present self with all of those behind you, you know, with all of that experience, with all of that education and all of your love for what you do behind you, instead of, and like standing next to you and supporting you rather than like something in the background that you forget about. You know, it's with you. It's always with you, and it's always going to be there. And so to just carry that and, you know, help it grow with you, you know?
Oh my God. It's so beautiful. It's a good reminder that like our journey is, it's never ending. And yeah, you carry your past with you and you get to keep moving forward. What would you say feeds your soul? I know it sounds like being on the river, being in nature, working with your partner. Is there anything else that comes up for you that you think of that really just nourishes your spirit?
Sure. When I see a client make a breakthrough, it really nourishes me. It really tells me like you're doing this, you know, for a reason, and this is what it is. I've had a few of those moments where clients have either been emotional or just flat out been like, this is awesome. Like I really feel a difference, and they thank me for what I've brought to their attention. And that I'd say is one of the most fulfilling aspects of my life, you know, is that's the reason why we do it, you know, is so that people can say, you know, hey, I notice that, or I feel this, or I, you know, changed this. You know what I mean? Like all of those tiny little steps, all of those phrases culminate into this huge, big picture of their health world. And you are just shining lights on stuff. You know, that's what I tell my clients. It's like, I'm not doing the work. You are. I'm just showing you. I'm just like walking with you, holding your hand. And I'm like, have a flashlight in my hand. And I'm like, hey, let's look over here. You know, and I'm their advocate. I'm their support person. I am that person that walks through the darkness with them to show them the light. And I am not doing the work. They are walking. I am just holding their hand, you know? And so when they make those discoveries by them on their own, you know, you're like, wow, yes, awesome. That's what it's all about. And I think that that's probably the best part for me.
Oh God, you make my eyes well up. You just speak beautiful, true words. That's so gorgeous. Thank you. As we're wrapping up, is there anything else that, you feel like is coming through you need to share with others?
I would just say, don't be afraid to reach out. You know, like, I'm a pretty outgoing person in a lot of ways, but it's sort of hard for me sometimes to take a step forward and to reach out to people that I don't know. And I would say that just do it. And like, especially if you are trying to make connections with people, the worst thing that I'm busy, you know, and you have to remember that. And it's like, if that's the worst thing that happens, like, you're okay, you know, and the best thing that had happened is that you make a new friend and you make a new connection and you expand your network and you get to share what you do. And, so those of you out there who are trying to start your own business, like, I know how hard it is. And, it's like what my partner always tells me. He's like, the first part is always the hardest, you know, like learning to swim is always the hardest part. Once you learn how to swim or once you learn how to ride a bike, you know how to do it. You know, it's going to be there. It's always going to be there. And, you're always going to put work into it. You're always going to get better at it, but it's just, it's a process and to take it one step at a time. And my grandfather used to say, you know, when he was looking at a big project, he would be like, all right, we're just going to eat the elephant one bite at a time, you know, one little bit at a time. And don't look at the whole, process as one, look at it as tiny little pieces that you can chip away at, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, so good. Thank you for that. How can listeners connect with you? How can we work with you and support you, encourage you, just stay up to date with what you're up to?
No problem. I have a website, as you said, that I created on my own, which was really hard because I have no idea anything about technology. So
it's so gorgeous.
It's a work in progress, but it is what it is right now. Thank you. So like I said, my website is mountainmoonherbalism.com and I would love to, you know, have, and my email is mountainmoonmedicine@gmail.com. So if anybody wants to email me any questions or, if you're in the Boise area and you want to meet up, I would love to, you know, get some tea or, you know, go for a walk or whatever. That's a great thing to do. And then my Instagram is also Mountain Moon Herbalism, and it has some underscores in between each word. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just reach out, and I would love to hear from anybody. So,
oh, amazing! Wow, thank you so much for just sharing your light out into the world. I love your Instagram. Like, that's actually what reminded me to reach out to you, because you just have a really beautiful approach of like giving these little bits of inspiration and encouragement, like thinking of different ideas of self-care. And I just was like, oh my God, I need to have Carrie on the show. Cause I love your voice and your spirit and your energy. And just shine your light out there. So I want to encourage listeners to find her on Instagram and connect with Carrie, because she will give you such beautiful little doses of beauty and fun and play.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the love and support, and same right back at you, girl.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm excited to have you on the show again at some point, maybe round two. We can see how things are going in a year or something.
Right. I would love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. That'd be amazing. Oh my God, I would love that. Hopefully things are way different.
I'm sure they will be. I mean, it's like a year. So much happens in a year.
So friends, thank you so much again for listening to Time in the Studio today. I really appreciate your interest in this podcast. And if you want to connect via Instagram, that's probably the best way. There's a Time in the Studio profile on Instagram, and you can follow me there. I also have a site on Instagram as Ada Zia Arts. That's AIDA www.zea.arts, A-R-T-S. So please connect with me there if you'd like. I love hearing from people. It's been really sweet getting some messages about things that people are really liking about the podcast. So yeah, I love hearing what you think and knowing if there are people that you would love to hear from on the podcast, or if you want to be on the podcast sometime and you're a creative or a plant person, reach out and let me know. I'm open to different people being on the show. So yeah, I just want to shine a light on all the magical people out in the world doing noble work. So thank you again, and may our efforts benefit all beings. Love and light to you all. Thank you.